Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we'll hear by tape recording Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served for more than 20 years as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where we shall read the Bible account of the fall of the human race into sin. This is God's revelation to us as to how we became corrupt with sin and shame and ruin. So it behooves us to give careful attention to what Jehovah, the living and true God, has to say on this subject. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. The subject for our Bible study today is the origin of sin. No thinking person can deny sin's reality. But where did sin originate? How did it all start? The presence of sin is the problem which confronts every religious, social, philosophical, moral, ethical, and political system. Many and varied are the efforts to solve the problem of sin. All such efforts, apart from the divine revelation, have failed. The Bible clearly teaches that man was originally created in the image of God, and that his first estate was one of innocence, beauty, and glory, but that he believed the lie of Satan, disobeyed the command of his Creator, plunged himself and his posterity into sin, and became a fallen creature. Sin is what is wrong with the world. Sin is what has polluted the human race. Sin is what has produced all the ills of life. Sinners are lost, hell-bound, slaves of their own lusts, and children of the devil. It is sin, therefore, that makes the evangelization of the world necessary. It is sin that makes revival in the church necessary. It is sin that brought our Savior from heaven's glory to earth's shame to suffer the ignominious death of Calvary's cruel cross. But where did sin originate, and how did it enter the universe? E. H. Bancroft, in his volume on Christian theology, says, quote, The origin of sin is wrapped in obscurity. It is one of the unrevealed mysteries of the Scripture. End of quotation. Now, this may be true. However, we are not left in the dark as to who the first sinner was, for the Lord Jesus himself said, as recorded in the Gospel according to John chapter 8 and verse 44, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. Yea, the devil sinneth from the beginning. Neither are we left in the dark concerning the nature of Satan's sin and its results. Consider first of all, then, the entrance of sin into the angelic realm. That sin entered the universe before the sin of Adam and Eve is evident from what we find recorded in Genesis chapter 3. The very fact that the serpent raised doubt in the mind of Eve that God had spoken, that he flatly denied the truthfulness of God's word, and that he charged God with evil purposes, indicates that rebellion had, prior to this event, found entrance into the ranks of the intelligent creatures of God. In other portions of God's word, we are told that sin entered first into the angelic realm. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, we read of the divine judgment against the angels that sinned. And in Jude verse 6, of that against the angels that kept not their first estate and left their own habitation. So then, there were a host of angels that sinned. The nature of their sin was selfish ambition. They desired and sought higher place in God's order. They were led in their rebellion by Satan, the highest order of all created beings. He is identified in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 as Lucifer, the son of the morning, and in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12 and verse 14 as the one who sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, and the anointed cherub that covereth. This anointed cherub was perfect in all his ways from the day that he was created till iniquity was found in him. The nature of his sin is revealed in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 17 as the pride of heart. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, says Almighty God. He looked upon his rare beauty and radiant splendor and became obsessed with the sense of his own importance. Further, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, the nature of his sin is revealed as self-will. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times in these two verses, Lucifer, the son of the morning, asserted his purpose and desire to usurp the throne of the universe from Almighty God. Pride and self-will, then, were the downfall of Satan, the anointed covering cherub, Lucifer, the son of the morning. It is evident that sin entered the universe through the angelic realm. It was the deliberate act on the part of Satan and the angels which followed him, an act dictated by dissatisfaction with the place assigned to them in the heavenly hierarchy of heaven, and by ambition to secure for themselves a loftier station than that in which all the wise God had placed them. Second, consider the entrance of sin into the human race. It is evident by virtue of the character of God in the revelation of Scripture that God neither created man a sinner nor decreed that man would sin. And yet, God's Word teaches that Adam and Eve sinned, and that in Adam the entire race fell. Adam's fall was brought about by temptation from without, for prior to his fall he was innocent and enjoyed perfect and unbroken fellowship with his Creator, his wife, and the creatures of the earth. It was the seductive influence of Satan, the lord of the fallen spirits, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that Satan's wife, Eve, was led to disobey God. She in turn tempted Adam, and he sinned. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 declares that it was through deception that the devil led Eve into sin. Satan said, in effect, even if God did forbid you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he will not carry out his threat of death. Why, he has forbidden this to you only because he knows that when you eat of it, you will become like him. And this he does not wish. Lies, all of them diabolical and deceptive lies. And Eve believed them. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 infers that Satan deceived Eve with malignant intent. The very name Satan means slanderer, and it was with revenge against God that he deceived Eve. It was through the serpent's enticement, according to Genesis chapter 3, that Eve was tempted and sin entered the race. She was charmed by the delightful appearance of the tree, the delicious and desirability of its fruit. And so she disobeyed God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 and verse 12 tell us that it was through the disobedience of Adam that many were made sinners. That is, that by him sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It was through Adam and Eve, then, that sin entered the human race. Consider, in the third place, the entrance of sin into the individual heart. Sin, having entered the human race through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, has become inherent in human nature. Therefore, every individual is a sinner by nature or in character. The Scriptures affirm that we were conceived in our mother's wombs in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We were born dead in trespasses and sins, and thereby we became children of wrath. The scientific law of heredity acknowledges it, for it says that the physical, mental, and moral characteristics are transmitted from parent to child, and our experience confirms that we are sinners by nature, sinners in character. Every individual is a sinner by deliberate choice. The penmen of Holy Scripture, with one accord, describe the sinful actions, words, feelings, and thoughts of every human individual to his own deliberate free choice, so that he is thereby with perfect justice held responsible for his deviation from the path of righteousness and failure to measure up to the moral standard laid down in God's law. James chapter 1 and verses 13 to 15 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Nothing could be clearer, friend. You are a sinner by deliberate choice. But then every individual is a sinner by activity or in conduct. The Scriptures declare that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This means that not only have all men sinned, but that all of us keep coming short of the glory of God. And my dear friend, if it were not for the restraining work of the Holy Spirit, the sinful activity of sinful men would already, like a mighty flood, be sweeping throughout the world. For you see, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, insidiously permeating the whole fabric of human society. As long as the Spirit-indwelled Church of Jesus Christ is on earth, the spread of lawlessness is held in check. But when the Church is raptured, the salt of the earth will be taken out. What now is mystery will become the manifestation of lawlessness, and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, who will rise to power, and for the last 3.5 years of the period of the tribulation will exercise tyrannical rule over the whole earth, to be terminated with the second coming of Christ to take the reins of human government and establish his millennial kingdom. My dear friend, you are a sinner, either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. If you are still lost in sin, your greatest need is not to deny your sins or to erase sin guilt from your conscience, but your greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. God has provided in the sacrifice of his Son the only way you can be forgiven. What you must do is to repent of your sins, believe the gospel that Christ died for you, and receive him as your own Savior. Then God will forgive your sins, frankly, fully, freely, and forever. I urge you in Jesus' name to take your place before God as a hell-deserving sinner in repentance and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you today.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Genesis on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord.